The Truth News Network. Here's the conundrum. Contentious elections characterized by two extremes, one telling outrageous lies, the other telling outrageous truth. How do you sort that out? How do you navigate that maze? You need a guide with clear vision and the absolute brass to identify and tell the absolute truth. Fortunately, you have TNN, the Truth News Network, and your guide, unerring, unswerving, your guide is Dan Newman.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome here. Probably going to have a little bit bigger audience today because it's Good Friday. Lots of folks have a holiday today. And I want to say to those of you who, because of work or other obligations, you don't get to come here very often, thank you for choosing to do just that today. Yes, it is a holiday. Well, for most of us. But not everybody has that luxury. And of course, around the clock are people in law enforcement. They work, most of them shift work, and don't get a lot of holidays. Simply because holidays, a lot of people are out and about. That means crime's out and about as well. So we want to tell you today, just in all the rush and all the chaos, and boy, we got a mess of that to talk about today. Don't get all caught up in it to the point where we forget we're talking about Jesus Christ being crucified later on today in history. And then, of course, we here in the West, we honor Easter Sunday because it was Easter Sunday morning when Jesus was in the grave, but he is no longer. And Easter Sunday was the day of the resurrection. So keep all that in mind. You know, it's like any holiday. We get all caught up in the holiday stuff, and sometimes we forget about the substance of what it represents. We're not going to do that. Not going to do that at all. But we are going to cover and talk about a whole bunch of things. Important things, updates on a lot of the atrocious circumstances that we've watched play out the past week. And there's plenty of those to go around, isn't it? So we're going to do that and to get you set.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. Many times that we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, man. It's just not enough.
Oh, oh, man.
Oh, man.
My darling, I can't get enough of your love, man. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to, no matter how I try. It's like the more you give, the more I want. And baby, that's no lie. Oh, no, babe. Tell me, what can I say? What am I gonna do? How should I feel when everything is you? What kind of love is this that you're giving me? Is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? Girl, all I know is every time you're here, I feel a change. Something moving. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with, darling, I your love, baby. Girl, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, baby. Oh, no, baby. Girl, if I could only make you see and make you understand. Girl, your love for me is all I need.
explain all the things I feel. You've given me so much, girl, you're so unreal. Still, I keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Cause you're blowing my mind. I get the same old feeling every time you're here. I feel a change, something moves. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with calling out. Can't get enough of your love, babe. Oh no, babe.
Baby, it didn't take all of my life to find you. But you can believe it's gonna take the rest of my life to keep you.
A lot of memories in that song, in there. My goodness. Brings up a lot of memories. Good memories. You know, back when I was in college. That's a millennial ago. It's a long time. Well, good morning if you just joined us. Thank you for joining us on this Good Friday. We've got a bunch of new things to talk about. Of course, we got updates on several really big stories. And the Supreme Court is in a couple of them today. Believe it or not, the Supreme Court is involved in several of these cases that revolve around executive orders that were issued by our president, Donald Trump. And one of them, this is a really important one. I know you know what birthright citizenship is all about. That comes from way back after the Civil War. And it was based upon the fact of slaves and their children who were born, even if mom and dad came from and were brought here from another country, the kids that are born here were given citizenship. And so what's happened through the years, political experts, so-called experts, have determined that that applies also for the children of illegal migrants that come to the United States. And in many cases, the reason they come here is so their kids that are born here are automatically given citizenship just because they were born here. Now, the conundrum is mom and dad are here illegally. So you can only imagine the chaos that comes along with that, trying to figure it out. Well, they've got to get a citizenship or we'd be looking at them, oh, I don't know, moms and dads being deported out of the country with a kid that's a citizen and doesn't have any way or anybody to deal with it. So here's a little more insight to what the Supreme Court is going to be looking at. They're going to hear this case, we're told.
The U.S. Supreme Court announced on Thursday that it will hear arguments next month over President Donald Trump's bid to restrict automatic birthright citizenship. An executive order signed by Trump on his first day back in office directed federal agencies to refuse to recognize the citizenship of children born in the United States who do not have at least one parent who is an American citizen or lawful permanent resident. Federal judges in three different states blocked Trump's order, and it will remain halted while the court considers the case. Restricting birthright citizenship is just one facet of Trump's hardline approach toward immigration. On Thursday, The Justice Department said it would appeal U.S. District Judge James Boasberg's finding that there was probable cause to hold Trump officials in criminal contempt of court for violating his order to return alleged members of a Venezuelan gang who were deported to El Salvador under an 18th century wartime law. Trump spoke to reporters about the issue while hosting Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni at the White House.
We're doing a fantastic job of getting criminals out of this country who Biden allowed into the country. One of the primary reasons I was elected is because I said, I'm going to get the criminals that he allowed to come into our country so stupidly through open borders. I'm going to get them out.
In a separate case involving Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a migrant who was wrongly deported to El Salvador from Maryland, government lawyers asked an appeals court to stop a judge in the state from ordering Trump officials to provide documents and answer questions under oath about what they had done to secure Abrego Garcia's return.
I've heard many things about him, and we'll have to find out what the truth is.
Later, in a strongly worded unanimous opinion, the appeals court rejected the Trump administration's requests in the Abrego Garcia case, adding that the executive and judicial branches are, quote, grinding irrevocably against one another in a conflict that promises to diminish both.
You can tell by that particular perspective of the immigration issue. Trump, everybody knows this, one of the big reasons he was elected because he promised he would stop the flood of illegals. It's not immigration. The only time the word is used, illegal immigrants, illegal immigration, is when a leftist news media or a Democrat is talking about it. Folks, if anybody is in this country and did not come here and aren't a U.S. citizen, the second you show up, and you come into our country without an official invitation from our government to do so, you are violating criminal federal law. That's been the case for a long, 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 long time. It doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump. In fact, it is supposed to have to do with every chief executive of this nation. The executive branch of the nation is constitutionally charged with honoring the law of the land, especially the U.S. Constitution. And when they just benignly ignore it, they're also breaking federal law. They allow it to happen. This is turning out to be, we're going to talk a little bit about this a little later in the show today, but this is turning out to be probably the number one issue the Democrat Party is planning to use to try to win the House and the Senate back in the midterms coming up next year. Seriously, it's gotten to be that ridiculous. Supreme Court, again, got into an issue yesterday. Liberal Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan denied an emergency appeal to stop the deportations of four Mexican migrants who claimed they would be targeted by cartels if they got sent back to Mexico. The four filers, all family members, were ordered to report to immigration officials Thursday for deportation, but they attempted to get it delayed so they could file a petition for formal review. Of course, they already had that formal review when they were given a deportation order by a judge. Justice Kagan, who oversees appeals coming out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, did not comment on her decision to refer the matter to the full court. Attorneys for the filers, here's what they claim. Their clients, who, by the way, are in the U.S. illegally and according to federal law, when they were discovered being here illegally, within 24 hours, the federal government is supposed to deport them. Not give them a deportation order, is supposed to send them back to the country from which they came. Why can't we just follow the law? None of this mess would be happening if the Biden administration thumbed their noses at the rule of law, the U.S. Constitution, and law-abiding Americans, and just started opening up the border, letting anybody to come in. These people, these filers, they're all saying there will be threats of violence by the cartels in Mexico if they're sent back. Other family members already in Mexico, we are told, no proof, but we are told they were beaten and threatened by a cartel after they refused to cooperate with them. That kind of goes with the turf, don't you think? If you're in a cartel, what are they going to do? Cartels don't operate illegal anything. They're in it to destroy laws, to make money. 99% of the illegal activities of cartels that happen in the United States are about money. In this petition, it says petitioners face imminent removal and have been directed to report to the immigration office for deportation. This is despite credible and detailed testimony and documentary evidence showing they are targets of cartel violence because their family ties and their refusal to comply with extortion demands. Why did you come here illegally? Why did you? You made the choice. It's not clear, we're told, the family has been deported at the time of this. They were supposed to appear yesterday for deportation. We have no idea if they did it. Another biggie blew up yesterday, and it's kind of still sinister. We're not getting facts about the Florida State University shooting that happened yesterday. The suspect, a guy named Phoenix Eichner, don't know yet, or at least they're not telling us what his motive was for what he did, but he killed two people, six more are in the hospital. Eichner was shot and wounded by responding officers yesterday afternoon after he refused to comply with their commands to put the guns down. That's according to Tallahassee, Florida Police Chief Lawrence Revel. Police also said his mother, by the way, the shooter's mother, is a sheriff's deputy with the Leon County Sheriff's Office, and that they believe Eichner shot the victims using one of his mom's former service handguns, which she had kept for personal use after the force upgraded to new ones. Months before this happened, Eichner was quoted in a Florida State student newspaper article about the anti-Trump protest at the school, and he was identified as a political science major. These people, and this is a quote, these people are usually pretty entertaining, usually not for good reasons. I think it's a little too late. He, Trump, he's already going to be inaugurated on January 20th. There's not really much you can do to, unless you outright revolt, and I don't think anybody wants to do that. That's a quote from him in the Florida State school paper. The article was later updated to say, quote, an earlier version of this article included a quote from the gunman in the April 17th shooting at Florida State and was removed at the decision of our editors to maintain ethical journalistic standards and avoid amplifying the voice of an individual responsible for violence. Leon County Sheriff Walt McNeil, he knows Eichner, obviously, and he said the kid has been steeped in the Leon County Sheriff's Office family. He's been engaged in a number of training programs that we have. So it's not a surprise to us that he had access to weapons. Eichner was a longstanding member of the Sheriff's Office's Youth Advisory Council there. So on its website, the Leon County Sheriff's Office said that its Youth Advisory Council provides Leon County's young people with an active role in addressing issues of today's youth. It is the undertaking of the YAC to advise the sheriff, reach out to Leon County teens, inform them of existing opportunities, and listen to suggestions on what the sheriff's office can do to improve its youth-oriented efforts, kind of like what you would expect from one of these advisory councils. We don't have a motive. At least the police have never given what the motive was. The two that were shot, we're told, were not even Florida State University students. Two shot, two died. And it happened right in the middle of the afternoon in the middle of the campus. So there is a whole bunch more to this story. You can bet it. We're going to get them. And if we get any of that during the show, we'll tell you about it live. If not, we'll have complete details for you when we publish our Saturday bullet points at truthnewsnet.org. All of that will be there for you. So when you get up tomorrow morning, grab your coffee and turn on your computer and look through our Saturday bullet points. More news coming out of New York State. Maybe not New York State, maybe Virginia. I'm talking about the stuff regarding Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, that was popped yesterday with a massive expose about her alleged massive mortgage fraud. Talk about conundrum. She prosecuted Donald Trump for allegations of mortgage fraud. More details to that. Sit tight.
How to improve your dining room by the Home Depot. New wood floors, new paint on the walls. Sure, you know us for that. But how about a new dining room table? Matching chairs? Bar stools? How about free and flexible delivery with easy online returns? Now you can explore decor in a whole new way. Save now on furniture. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. U.S. only, valid through September 7th. Limitations apply.
Is that milk?
Yeah, I love milk.
Who's drinking milk?
I'm drinking milk.
We're all drinking milk.
Are they drinking milk?
Who doesn't?
I eat my milk.
I melt my milk.
I freeze mine.
I make milk.
She just started drinking milk, and we never stopped.
I've actually never tried it. Just kidding. I love milk.
Yeah! After work milk?
You betcha.
Everybody milk!
Ah, luxury. The aroma is full-bodied, the flavor is decadent, the touch, divine. And the drive? Yes, the drive of luxury is simply infinity. Introducing the Infinity Luxury Test Tour. If you think you are familiar with luxury, you haven't driven an Infinity. Infinity of Elk Grove invites you to truly become familiar with luxury and take a luxury test tour. It's like a test drive, but with more luxury. We invite you to drive luxury to luxury, not for an hour or even a day, but for an entire weekend. Your choice. Select your Infinity and motor off to a luxury weekend in Lake Tahoe or Napa Valley. And yes, all the luxury is on us. Introduce yourself to luxurytesttour.com and truly become familiar with luxury. Infinity of Elk Grove is literally giving you the keys to a luxury experience like none other. Luxurytesttour.com. Drive luxury, drive Infinity. Infinity of Elk Grove. Expect more.
No identity politics, no political elitism. Read and hear the truth, always sourced from facts.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Now let me break down this debacle that Letitia James, the Attorney General of the state of New York, finds herself in. You'll remember, of course, how many times you saw her in front of cameras as the trial went on and on and on of Donald Trump alleging mortgage fraud. Now remember, that case was looked at previously by the federal attorneys of the Southern New York District. And they declined to prosecute it because it didn't fit the parameters to get it into federal court. But they manipulated some of the so-called facts, Letitia James and her crew did, and doing so, They convinced a jury to confirm, at least by their verdicts, that Donald Trump and his people, and you and I both know, he had very little to do with the X's and O's that went along with mortgages on his commercial properties around the world and in New York. But he was accused of overstating the values of these commercial buildings. And I'm talking about commercial buildings on Park Avenue. I'm talking about multi-million dollar properties. And he took out mortgages to get these buildings bought. And she brought people in, so-called experts, that would testify the values that were stated so that these loans would be made by banks was overstating the value, and that doing so is fraud. And so they tried this in state court because it wasn't going to work in federal court. Well, fast forward to Letitia James. By the way, I think Trump owes, according to the verdict and the sentencing from that case, about $350 million. It's unheard of. It's never happened anywhere else in the planet like this. Every bank that was involved in this testified during this trial, and every banker said, we provided that mortgage for this building. We, and here's the important thing, lenders are required by federal law, when they give a commercial mortgage, they must check it out themselves, the value that is represented in the application for that mortgage. So every bank that lent the Trump Organization money for these buildings, for mortgages there, by law, they were required to have their own value that they proved through getting professionals to come estimate the values, and they made the loans based upon their findings, their assessment of the value. That's just a little term that Letitia James and her attorneys decided not to tell the jury about. Every one of those bankers testified and said, these were the values that we agreed to. We gladly made the loans. They were never late with a single payment. And every one of them said, we wanted all of the Trump Organization's money, and we wanted to be their mortgage company and give us all their business. In spite of that, Letitia James got conviction. Now, it will not stand up on appeal. In fact, it probably is going to be kicked to the curb before Trump even leaves office. It won't stand. But isn't it ironic that a forensic accountant, not anybody that is affiliated in any way with Donald Trump or anybody in his organization, this is an independent guy who has made a career of looking for mortgage fraud. And he, on his own volition, months ago, set out to do an investigation of the allegations of Letitia James and massive mortgage devaluation, lying about values, lying about circumstances. She apparently owns three or four properties, and all but one of them is commercial property that she's rented out. So instead of me pontificating about what is and what isn't, how about we just listen to an explanation of this, and included in the explanation is the forensic accountant that did this work. He explains it, and he also makes it very clear. He doesn't know anything about Donald Trump, never met him, didn't do anything because it's Donald Trump or not because it was Donald Trump. He did it because of information that he was given, and he looked into it, investigated it, just like he does every other one.
New York Attorney General Letitia James' entire world is crashing down around her as we speak. And it is something to see. On Tuesday, the Department of Justice received a criminal referral from the U.S. Federal Housing Finance Agency against Tish James. This allegation is one of the most ironic that we have ever heard. Tish James, who spent the last few years alleging Donald Trump's business was messing with asset valuations to get lower interest rates, has allegedly committed fraud to get lower interest rates. Also, an array of other likely crimes. Again, this is an unbelievable story tonight. It almost seems too good to be true, but the evidence looks to be rock solid. We're going to talk to the guy that dug it up here in just a couple of minutes, the man that found all of this. The media is now on the hunt for Tish James. She's being stalked. Cameras were outside of her home earlier today. Her peace is now over, and it's so well deserved. It appears New York's attorney general has lied about her principal residency, lied about rental income, lied about the number of units in a townhouse she owns to gain a lower interest rate. Also indications she flew private on taxpayer dime for campaign events and claimed that her dad was her husband for special benefits on a mortgage. There are an array of allegations here, and they all seem very, very solid. Again, it's an amazing story. And knowing all of this, and she did know all of this because she's the one that did it, here is how she has sounded for the last couple years when she talks about Donald Trump.
Running for attorney general because I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president when our fundamental rights are at stake.
Oh, we're gonna definitely assume we're gonna be a real pain in the ass. He's gonna know my name personally.
Donald Trump may have authored the art of the deal, but he perfected the art of the steal.
And I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. You can come after me, but no enemy, nothing formed against me will perish.
I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you.
Trash. This is so good. It is so good. James' response to these allegations coming from her office was not good at all. Attorney General James is focused every single day on protecting New Yorkers, especially as this administration weaponizes the federal government against the rule of law and the Constitution. Yes, they actually wrote this today. She will not be intimidated by bullies, no matter who they are. Read that a few times, laugh to yourself, because it is funny. And that was nowhere near any kind of a denial either. If you actually look at the statement, they don't deny a thing. That might tell you something. Tish James alleged the president and his business committed fraud by engaging in activities done by pretty much every single developer who's ever developed anything. Maximizing valuations when borrowing against assets to secure better interest rates from the bank. Trump's own bank, Deutsche Bank, which he allegedly defrauded, according to Tish James, even testified in his defense in the trial. There was no victim. And yet, because we're in New York, which of course is absent an unbiased justice system politically anymore, Trump was mandated to pay nearly $400 million for this nonsense that this woman completely invented. And let's not even get into the E. Jean Carroll and all the other chaos he's been through in this city. Just ridiculous what he went through. Remember all that he went through before this last election. All the walls he had to break down. A completely invented crime this was, which, of course, Tish James sold as legitimate.
White-collar financial crime is not a victimless crime. When the well-connected break the law to take in more money that they are entitled to, it reduces resources to working people, to regular people, to small businesses, and to all taxpayers. Everyday people cannot lie to a bank about how much money they have in order to get a favorable loan to buy a home or to send their kid to college. And if they did, the government would throw the book at them.
Big Tish was such a terrible actress, such a phony, such a fraud. And the best part of the story, well, this is probably the best part of the story, but a great part of the story was that she herself directly contributed to the president winning that last election in a landslide. Her and a few others, you know the names. The weaponization was so clear It was so vivid to everybody. It was so obvious. Trump's base grew, leading to that landslide victory in November that most thought was absolutely impossible if you would have asked them in January of 2021. Nobody ever thought he could climb back up that hill. Hey, Tish James, I know you're not watching, but you made it happen. Tish James was exposed as little more than a city rat over the past year or two, a bottom feeder who used her race and gender to ascend to the top of New York politics, which would be impressive, except in today's society, as you know from watching, what's happening to our major cities, our bluest states, we have decided to let the most unimpressive people that we have govern all of us. People who win elections with rhetoric like this.
Stand up to an administration which is too male, too pale, and too stale. Too male, too pale, and too stale. Too male, too pale, and too stale.
Too male, too pale, and too stale. This is how we're going to start choosing government now, based on how colorful and how not male it is. This is the kind of nonsense you have to listen to when you live here in New York. These are the people that lead our communities. How sad is that? All right, we have a great guest tonight. Sam Antar is a forensic accountant who has a very colorful past we'll dig into here in a bit. He is the man that dug all of this up on Letitia James. He's the source of all this information. Sam, thank you so much for joining us
here
on the set.
Thank you for having me on, sir.
You're a New Yorker. You live right down the street. And this is some fantastic work here. I want to start and get into just the specifics first. Starting with this Virginia property that she claimed as her primary residence while she was, I mean, this is Norfolk, Virginia. This is probably a 5-6 hour drive. Claiming it's her primary residence while she's the AG of New York. From your report, you say James signed a specific power of attorney declaring her intent to make 604 Sterling Street in Norfolk, Virginia, her principal residence, a legally binding statement that may have automatically vacated her position as New York Attorney General under Public Officers Law 30, a declaration that came just 45 days before she launched her case, her civil fraud case against Donald Trump. Tell us more about what happened in Virginia here.
She purchased a property with a relative. This is in 2023, a few weeks. She closed
2 years ago, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She closed on it right before the Trump trial. And in the file documents with the county clerk's office, there was a power of attorney that she gave her cousin or niece to close the mortgage.
Yep.
And on the power of attorney, she represented that I intend to use this property as my primary residence. Now, there's two problems with that. The first problem is she lied on a power of attorney. Would anybody really believe that she was going to move to Virginia in the middle of the Trump trial? Second part is there's Section 6 of the mortgage that states that the borrower, meaning her and her niece, have to occupy the property as their primary residence within 60 days. Not one or the other, both.
Wow.
She never. She at least never occupied it. Right. That's
fine. And what was the motivation to do this? Why lie?
Lower interest rates.
Lower interest rates.
I'd call her a petty thief.
A petty thief. This is when you look at the allegations she made against Trump. Is this act worse, better, same?
Well, no. Trump is not a real felon. I'm a real felon. Okay. So Trump didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. You don't see anything wrong in the case you made against Trump. You think, I mean, obviously, the jury here thought that he did something wrong.
Well, listen.
It seems like what every developer has ever done.
You should have listened to the appellate arguments because the appellate judges seem to be, it seems like they're going to write an opinion that's going to vacate the entire case.
Yeah. Boom. Okay. Yeah. It's because, I mean, it obviously was, we were all astounded by what they charged him for that. That penalty was ridiculous. I want to move on here. Let's talk about Brooklyn, New York. This is her actual main residence. She walked out of this house this morning, a townhouse she owns. It's a multifamily home. You discover James has been claiming that her townhouse is a 4-unit dwelling when it actually has 5 units. Why would she do this?
to obtain lower mortgage rates. Again, if one to four units has different underwriting guidelines, and also insurance too, by the way, mm-hmm. Insurance fraud. Whereas if it's five or more units, it's considered a commercial property and also subject to different insurance guidelines.
Right.
She repeatedly lied because there's a certificate of occupancy that states that it's five units. And in New York, that rules. And it's unbelievable that that complaints were filed with the Department of Buildings, and they wrote it off as a minor problem, minor error. Where every other landlord in New York, if you pulled that stunt, illegal conversion, having a building that's different from the certificate of occupancy,
yep.
they will fine you. They will make you alter the building.
She's flat out lying on these documents. She didn't deny anything about it. 1983, she takes out a $30,000 loan with her dad. She files it as a husband and wife. She's married to a father. Why?
First of all, that was discovered by Joel Gilbert, not me. Don't want to take credit for anybody's work.
Okay.
All right, that was 1983. What he found was that she bought the house as father and daughter. Mm-hmm. And then when they did the mortgage, it was husband and wife.
As husband and wife.
Also, you get different underwriting as husband and wife than as you buy it as, partners or two family members.
We have...
And now this is different from the Brooklyn home. This is a different property. I think it was in Queens.
In Queens, yeah. It was a long time ago. This is 41 years ago, 42 years ago. We have allegations of flying private on taxpayer money, almost $42,000 to places like Martha's Vineyard, Puerto Rico. We have luxury hotels with mischaracterized unofficial filings. What can you tell us here?
Let's break it down. Between 2021 and 2022, she used private jets to get around, spent $42,000 of taxpayer money. The vendor she spent the money on was called Venture Jets. No other government agency, because the information is out there, back to 2014 ever used Venture Jets or for private jet travel, period.
Yeah.
Then in 2022, when the government stops paying for it, her campaign starts paying for it. Now, let's go back to this stuff that the taxpayers paid for. If you align the payments for the for Venture Jets and those trips, because you don't pay jet travel net 30 days, you pay it COD, cash on delivery.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of those trips align with major campaign events that she was attending.
Mm.
That's a problem.
That's a big. She has a lot of problems here.
Right.
It's unbelievable reporting. We've dug through. I think the bulk of the of what you have found. I believe. Real quick before I let you go, you have a past.
Yes.
And tell us how you got so good at what you just did. You worked on this for 7 months. How'd you get so good at this?
Because I was a criminal for 20 years, and I was very good at doing what I did as a criminal. morality aside, the FBI saw a talent in me, and they helped me out going forward after the Crazy Eddie case. The FBI taught me things. When I was being investigated, the FBI taught me how investigations are done. All of the beatings that the FBI gave me when I was doing crime made me into a better human being.
That's amazing. And you're just, you said you like to figure out puzzles. You like
I love
to solve
puzzles. I love numbers. Listen.
Yeah.
This is not I am not the Trump administration. I don't work for the Trump administration. I did this on my own time and my own dime. And me, I don't give a damn what Trump does.
Yep.
I will hold it personally accountable.
Sam Antar.
I love his New York accent. Now listen, the most important part of what you heard is it's all facts. And it's proven, and it's not proven by anybody in the Trump administration or in the Trump organization, not by the Department of Justice. It's a forensic, independent, forensic accountant that does this and has done it for years as part of who he is. And folks, here's what Letitia James is facing big trouble from. He has all the evidence, minute details. He has documentation. And I promise you, the Department of Justice, Pam Bondi, Attorney General, they launched this investigation the other day based upon the evidence this guy talked about. they will subpoena all of that from him. And he's already wrapped the case up with a nice bow for the feds. And Trump didn't have to lift a finger. Now, you want to hear another little uh-oh by Tish James? She is launching her fundraiser for re-election. And she's launching it with a big to-do Tuesday. And she's asking for donations for her re-election bid as Attorney General. She's asking people to give her $18,000 per person in this get-together, launching her campaign for re-election. You know what? There's a saying. If she had been a guy, there was a saying about how audacious she is in his acting. You heard those bits in the early part of that audio you just heard. While she was attacking Donald Trump, she was running for office, and she was using the fact nobody like him should even draw breath. We can't let these criminals thrive. I promise I'm going to do everything possible to let everyday Americans know nobody's above the law. Oh, except her. This is going to be a fun ride. And I don't wish big bad things on anybody, but isn't it interesting? Have you ever discovered in your lifetime that you can go back to that get-together God had with Noah after the flood, when God promised Noah that as long as there's life on earth, there will be reap and sow? In other words, every plant seed you put in the ground, that plant seed is going to grow into that plant. And that is not only talking about agriculture, folks. It's also talking about things that we do, seeds we plant. When we plant lies, guess what comes back? Lies and accountability for what we plant in the ground. Letitia James, she's got a tough, tough row in front of her. And it's going to get really bad.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Your juvenile mate, everyone has one. The guy that's fun to be around, but he's dangerous to be around. You've got to keep him away from your things, like your tools, your gadgets, and your girlfriend. So before you get your juvenile mate around, get your lips around a Dare Iced Coffee. The real Arabica and Robusta coffee kick will tell you what to do. Hire a jumping castle. Hours of fun for kids of all ages. A Dare Iced Coffee fix will fix it.
New Oral-B brush-ups.
Slip. Brush.
They're a totally new way to clean your teeth.
Brush.
Just rip, slip, brush, and set. Brush-ups are minty and textured. So now you can brush your teeth anytime, anywhere. All you gotta do is...
rip, slip, brush.
That's it. Just
rip, slip, brush.
New Oral-B brush-ups.
You do your thing, and you do it well. Now, it's time to do it bigger. It's time for Shopify. Shopify makes it easy to set up your online store, expand into new sales channels, and bring your brand into the real world. Get everything you need to launch your business today with Shopify.
Raid Shadow Legends. I mean, wow. You pick your champions, they're glorious, and their shields, oh, they glisten like wet otters. But the bad guys, they're Lovecraftian, they're spooky, they're big. And then you go to battle, and it's like, and finally, your foe is vanquished, and that satisfaction is such a primal feeling. Ooh.
Download Raid Shadow Legends. Play for free.
Oh, bit of calmness there, right? Kind of calm us down. Good Friday. We're all ramped up for Easter weekend. Well, there's more to the Letitia James story. She was finally cornered in an interview about all this stuff. And she was a bit vague. She was a bit defiant in her first interview since these allegations showed up. Yesterday, James appeared on Inside City Hall with Spectrum New York One to talk about these allegations. So she apparently did little more than to call them baseless. She said, "Let me just say to all New Yorkers and to all Americans, the allegations are baseless," she said. "You just heard from a forensic expert in mortgage fraud." He's the one that on his own did this whole investigation. And he's got documents. He's got copies of mortgage applications, affidavits she signed off on, all lies. When she was pressed to give more information yesterday, she dodged, quote, "As you know, as any good attorney, I will not litigate this case in a camera. It's important that we respond to these allegations at the appropriate time and in an appropriate way." James also went on the attack, of course, characterizing herself as one of many victims targeted by President Donald Trump and his, what she calls, revenge tour. "I will not be silenced. I will not be bullied. I will not bend. I will not break. And I will not bow to anyone. No one is above the law, including the President of these United States. I will not go back and forth with respect to these baseless allegations. I'm more focused again on standing up for freedom, liberties, and the rule of law in the state of New York. Y'all forget about the fact that I trampled all over those. I lied, I cheated, and I stole from the system that I allege that Donald Trump had. I thought I was going to get away with doing it." I guess she thought she was smarter than Donald Trump. She seemed less confident and bombastic on Wednesday, just one day before this interview, when she ducked the media outside her Brooklyn home by pretending to be on the phone. The New York Post described the phone ploy as inartful. That was kind. She may claim the allegations swirlings about her are baseless, but other legal scholars, they're not that sure. Tuesday night on Fox News, law professor Jonathan Turley, he indicated the evidence against her not only is pretty straightforward, but he added it's quite damning after he had a chance to look at the evidence. In August of 2023, James, age 66, and a relative, they bought a home in Norfolk, Virginia. In documents tied to the purchase, James pledged to use the home as her principal residence. And that's a violation of a New York statute that requires all statewide office holders to live in New York. James has also allegedly violated the terms of her investment property in Brooklyn, claiming it has only 4 units in it, when previous documentation indicates it has 5. According to William Pulte, the director of the U.S. Federal Housing Finance Agency, the purpose of fudging the number of units would be to get a conforming loan, a better one from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And to qualify for a conforming loan, a property may have no more than 4 units. She lied, saying her property had 4. It's got 5. Pulte also said that James even went so far as to list her daddy as her husband to get a mortgage loan back in 1983. In forms dated May of 2000, quote, "Ms. James was listed again as husband and wife. That's according to Pulte, though whether her father was also mentioned in those documents is unclear. Pulte sent a letter this week recommending that Attorney General Pam Bondi and Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanchet look into whether James committed wire, mail, and bank fraud and made false statements to a financial institution, among even other crimes. So despite this alleged history of falsifying real estate documents for better lending terms, James ruthlessly targeted Trump in a lawfare campaign that began right after he left office at the end of his first term. Professor Turley joked that she prosecuted Trump for everything short of ripping a label off of a mattress. She even brazenly sued Trump and the Trump Organization for allegedly overvaluing properties to secure better terms with banks and insurance companies. The irony that James now faces her own accusations against Trump. Turley also cautioned that in her pursuit of Trump, Letitia set a standard she may not be able to meet herself. She insisted that these technicalities matter and that the powerful should not be given a free pass. Well, that bill, Turley said, has come due. Yada, yada, yada. This is going to be tough to get around. And I can't even imagine, knowing that she did these things, that she had the unmitigated gall to come after Donald Trump for doing what she had already done. And the bankers and the insurance companies that Trump's folks worked with to get these mortgages on, I'm talking about multi-million dollar properties, commercial properties, not just in New York, but in New Jersey, other parts of the country. Every one of them said they valued the properties themselves before they signed off on the loans. And they were well worth what they were represented to be worth by Trump's organization. But, you know, you can't even consider that kind of stuff when you're running for office as a Democrat and you got to go after to somebody on the other side of the aisle and try to burn them down so you can raise your hand and saying, hey, I'm the New York Attorney General. I'm for the little guy, not for this multi-billionaire. He's so illegitimate, I'm going to bring him to his knees. So make up a lot of stuff. Misrepresent other stuff. It's okay if you live in New York, if you're female, and if you're African-American, and you're lusting for power and government, anything goes. Facts, not necessary. We're going to make them up as we go. Well, you've probably heard, and we reported yesterday, about Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen jumping on a plane, probably, don't know this for sure, but probably a private jet that was funded by somebody for him to make that unsolicited trip to El Salvador, because he said he wanted to sit down and meet with deported migrant and suspected labor trafficking guilty person, Kilmer Abrego Garcia. You all know the story about this guy. When Van Hollen got down there, he went to the vice president of El Salvador, and they said, you can't meet with Garcia. Well, can I talk to him? The VP said, no, you can't talk to him. And then the VP told him, you probably would have been better off if you made a phone call before you came down here. For whatever it's worth, Van Hollen hung around, and he did get to meet with Garcia. So, while Bukele released Garcia from jail for this meeting, he also, now Bukele is the president of El Salvador, the president dampen Democrats' hopes of flying the Salvadoran migrant back to the U.S. Democrats, they hope, over hope that they can play. This whole thing can play a central role in their midterm election strategy. We've all been wondering, what the heck are they going to use to try to find somebody that can kick Trump's people out of these midterm offices? They have nothing legitimate that they can point to and use. So this, apparently, is the place they're going. They're going to die on the hill by using this and the gross mismanagement of the immigration system by Donald Trump. They're going to try to play that in front of the American people, and they actually think Americans' people are going to feel they should support that side of the aisle. 80%+ of voters last year voted for Trump because he said, "I will stop illegal migration across our southern and northern border. If you elect me, we are going to enforce constitutional and U.S. congressional passed legislation. We're going to enforce every paragraph, every sentence, every period, every one of them." And they think they can go back. Well, there is a little sliver of America that believes like they do, that if you need something to help you get elected, doesn't need to be lawful. It just needs to be sounding like you're better, because we've got to help these poor people that came here just so they could find a better life for them and their families. They think they can do this, folks. President Bukele said, "Kilmer Abrego Garcia, miraculously risen from the death camps and torture, now sipping margaritas with Senator Van Hollen in the tropical paradise of El Salvador." Now, this is the president of El Salvador saying that. Quote, "Now that he's been confirmed healthy, he gets the honor of staying in El Salvador with us." I love this guy. The meeting came as more details were revealed about the 2022 police stop that showed Abrego Garcia likely served as an illegal labor trafficker just 3 years after he was approved and a deportation order was released that was supposed to send him back all the way back in 2019. A leaked federal report says Abrego Garcia was driving with an expired license when he was pulled over by a policeman in Tennessee, and that, quote, "there was no luggage in the vehicle," leading the encountering officer to suspect this was a human trafficking incident. All the 8 passengers gave the same home address as Abrego Garcia's own home address. President Bukele posted photographs of the meeting, which did not show Van Hollen using cameras or being accompanied by the immigration activists that he brought with him from the United States. Democrats, they're rallying around the illegal migrant, despite growing evidence that he beat his wife, also served as a street hustler for the dangerous MS-13 gang, and he worked as an illegal labor trafficker in 2022. The federal report of that traffic stop, here's what it says. On December 1, 2022, subject Abrego Garcia was observed speeding and unable to maintain its lane and was subsequently pulled over by Trooper Doug Foster, badge number 1455 of the Tennessee Highway Patrol. Upon approach to the vehicle, encountering officer noted there were 8 other individuals in the vehicle with the subject who was identified as the driver. Subject stated he was driving 3 days ago, that was 11/27/2022, from Houston, Texas, to Temple Hills, Maryland, to bring in people to perform construction work. There was no luggage in the vehicle, leading the officer to suspect this was human trafficking. All the passengers gave the same home address as the subject's home address. So during that interview, subject pretended to speak less English than he was capable of in attempting to put encountering officer off track by responding to questions with questions. When asked what relationship he had with the registered owner of the vehicle, subject replied that the owner of the vehicle is his boss and that his work is in construction. And the report goes on, quote, encountering officer decided not to cite the subject for driving infractions, but gave him a warning citation for driving with an expired driver's license. Subject's driver's license is a Maryland limited term temporary license. Encountering officer gathered names of the other occupants in the vehicle, but could not read their handwriting, but did not pursue further due to no citation being issued. As a result, he did not pass the names, dates of birth, and IDs of those individuals. No incident report number was created, but the computer-aided dispatch number is 622-057-620. You can go online and they'll ask you for the dispatch number. You can put that in and find out for yourself firsthand what it says. I'll give you that dispatch number again. You ready to write? Boom, boom, boom. Here we go. 622-057-620. 622-057-620. I can bet you there are people out there scribbling down that number, and they're going to go find out. They're going to go look it up and find out for themselves. Abrego Garcia, by the way, this is proven. He is on the transnational organized crime watch list maintained by our Federal Threat Screening Center. Democrats, they don't want to pay attention to this. Facts don't matter. They're going to ignore the policy issues raised by Abrego Garcia's ability to stay in the United States. He has a deportation order that's been in place for 15 years, and he's dodged it. They prefer to hide the political debate under legal arguments over much extended due process and slow-moving legal appeals that they think will help pro-migration groups stymie the public's demand for full, proper enforcement of immigration law. Example, you want one? Another one? Abrego Garcia was ordered deported by a judge in 2019. But a second judge later declared he should not be deported back to his home country because Garcia had told them he would face danger from gang members if he went back there. And the gang that he was so-called afraid of, it doesn't even exist. However, the withholding order was made defunct when the MS-13 gang was declared to be a terrorist organization and is irrelevant because the gang has been dismantled. Trump Immigration Advisor Stephen Miller said on April 14th to a gaggle of reporters outside the White House, and I think we played this one for you, the courts are being used as political tools to block popular enforcement of the nation's popular immigration laws. Miller said, you think that we're going to sit around wringing our hands, wondering if, oh, maybe we should, you know, release this guy? Give them a little bit of extra time. Give them a little bit extra chance to plead their case. And then what? Oh, they kidnap somebody. They slit somebody's throat. They shoot them in the head. And we say, well, at least the illegal alien got due process. They're here illegally. The only place they deserve to go is to some country other than our country. And it's not, folks, a statistic. These are real lives. These are real families. There's whole neighborhoods in L.A. controlled by illegal alien Mexican street gangs, entire neighborhoods where you have to live in fear because of individuals here illegally engaged in extortion and other crimes, not to mention loaded up with fentanyl. You have cartels that have functional control over the entire northern territory in Mexico who are pumping fentanyl, laced our drugs with this chemical. Children ending up dead. They're going out to a weekend party. They think they're taking something safe and they get a heart attack and they die in the thousands. Miller said, I just wish we lived in a country where the media gave one-tenth of a damn as much about Americans who were murdered and brutalized and savagely killed, some beaten to death, as they do about whether illegal aliens that we all agree are illegal aliens should get a million days in court and a million hearings. There are 15 million illegal aliens that violated our country. If every one of them got the trial that you're asking for, it would take centuries to remove them. Centuries. You'll be talking about this in 300 or 400 years. Their great, 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 great grandchildren will be the ones representing them in court. That's how long it would take. Illegal aliens who come to our country must be removed. And they must be removed quickly. According to the law, that is an essential component of having something we like to call a country. I can't fathom how anybody that has 1 ounce of loyalty to the United States and the rule of law and the U.S. Constitution, how could anyone that really gives a rip, how could they be okay with this? Just let them hang around. They deserve that opportunity.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 85% water, right?
85% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thing.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
If you want a smart truck, you want an F-150 with available Pro Trailer Backup Assist. If you want a strong truck, you want an F-150 with a high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy body. If you want a capable truck, you want an F-150 with up to 13,200 pounds of available towing. So to recap, you want the smart, the strong, the capable Ford F-150.
Yo, some people think it don't make sense that I'm a horse whisperer. Fancy prance, yo! But you know what else don't make sense? Bye. I mean, it's good for you, but still somehow tastes amazing. Sideways fancy prance, you heard? Yeah. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Yo, I just whispered all of y'all. Too easy.
Bye. 5 calories, antioxidants, and tastes amazing? None of this makes sense.
This is your home. This is your family room, slash gym. The guest bedroom, slash music studio. The day bed, slash dog bed. The living room, slash yoga shanty, slash regional office.
How did you guys do it?
Slash classroom. And this is the basement, slash panic room. Maybe what your family needs is a vacation home, slash vacation home. Find yours on the Vrbo app.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at truthnewsnet.org.
You know, when we hear these things and we watch what the Democrat Party is doing today, I mean, think about it. Put it in perspective. What did we know about the Democrat Party in, let's say, the election of, 2024? We know about that one. It was Joe Biden / Kamala Harris. Joe took a bow. Kamala took the stage. And the rest is history. The Americans said, nope, not going down that road. We need somebody that's going to stand up for we the people. Think back all the way to the 2020 election and 2019 campaigning. What about all of what happened then? What were we told about Joe Biden and what he was going to do? They didn't tell us. He didn't tell us that he was going to open up the floodgates at our southern border and let probably 20 to 25 million people come in willy-nilly, no idea who they were, finding out only after the fact that almost every country on the planet put people illegally here. One word should be sufficient for anybody that wants to run for any position in our federal government. What is that? Illegal. If whatever it is, whatever action it is, it doesn't matter, top to bottom. You can't tell me that our forefathers thought it would be okay for those who were representing the American people in our government, whatever they felt about whatever law was being discussed, it was okay for them to ignore what the real laws actually say. You know, those laws that first became bills, that's what they started it off as. Lawmakers put the verbiage together, and then it goes through the Democrat process where people in each of the branches of government, either the House of Representatives or the Senate, and you go through, you talk about it, you have testimony, people, experts coming in, answering questions that we ask them to find out more about what is being proposed. And then those lawmakers, they make, in a committee, they make a vote. Maybe the committee says, no, we're not ready to put it out on the floor to be voted on. So they go back, they call more people, they get more evidence, they take another round to find out if the committee thinks it should go to the full floor. Yes, it goes. And that process starts all over again. That has been, it is, and it always will be the structure of our government, unless the people's representatives at the behest of the people change any of that process. That has not happened. And even today, you heard Letitia James say this, nobody is above the law. When Democrats tell you that, they don't mean nobody. Heck no. What they mean is nobody who disagrees with us has a right. They've got to listen to what and do whatever we say. Yeah, this is the law on the books, but we think it's unfair, so we're going to go light on that. These people that are caught up in this conundrum, it doesn't matter to them if the people they're talking about, the reason they're caught up in some conundrum is because they chose to take illegal actions. And they're not wanting to be held accountable for what they did breaking the law. That, my friends, can be the only the only rung in the ladder of the Democrat Party that they think they can use to win control of the House and the Senate. Illegality. They told us for generations, Democrats, the only thing that separates this country from any other country is the rule of law and the fact that we have structured it, operated it, and no one's above the law. They never did say, no one's above the law. And now they put an asterisk after that. And under the asterisk, it says, first it says, nobody's above the law. The asterisk and what follows, except any Democrat in authority in the government, when they want to change any of the above, they have the right to do it. And nobody can say anything. It's going to be that way. That's the world we're living in right now. How many times does this guy, Garcia, how many times is due process as defined in law? How many times does he, by the law, have to go before a federal judge and discuss his breaking the law and what the penalties are and what is going to happen to him? Over and over, two federal judges handled this way back in 2010. Two federal judges. The evidence presented to them showed he is a member of MS-13. He's here illegally. He had no official invitation from anybody in the federal government to come across the southern border. He did several times. Got caught, under the law, was arrested, goes to court. And the first time he got arrested, you know what he did? After he was arrested, awaiting trial, he married an American. Why would he do that? Chain migration. Hey, she's an American. She got pregnant. They had a baby. That kid's got, according to them, and this is about to be changed, I think. I'm confident the United States Supreme Court is going to rule birthright citizenship as it's being used is not part of the legality of chain migration. That's supposed to apply people who are here legally. People who are here legally and they have a baby while they're here. It is just one abuse after another, over and over again. And they do not care what the law says. All that matters is what they can get away with. Let's switch gears. We may end the show here in about 7 minutes. We'll get started on our Good Friday about a half hour earlier than normal. There's news out this morning, and I was really concerned this might happen. It looks like it really may. Trump is talking about moving away from Ukraine talks in days because nothing's happened. Our people have gone, had discussions in Ukraine. Our people have gone, they've met with Vladimir Putin in Russia. And it just seems like neither of those nations want to find consensus to make this stop. The U.S. is committed. U.S. is going to do whatever it takes to get peace in Ukraine, as long as either side or both, preferably, actually engage in the process. But as it stands right now, America will move on within days if there are no signs of progress. Neither Ukraine or Russia are engaging in the peace process properly. That's according to Secretary of State Marco Rubio. On Friday morning, as he boarded his flight back to the U.S., and he said if there isn't a breakthrough in the peace process within days, the U.S. is going to disengage in those peace talks with Ukraine and Russia. He said the U.S. is not willing to attend endless unproductive meetings and meetings for the sake of having meetings. And he said that on the tarmac in barely veiled criticism of both Moscow and Kyiv. He said, we came here yesterday to begin to talk about more specific outlines of what it might take to end the war, to try to figure out very soon. And I'm talking about a matter of days, not weeks or months, whether or not this is a war that can even be ended. If it can, we're prepared to do whatever we can to facilitate that, to make sure that happens, that it ends in a durable and fair and just way. If there are no indications the two sides are actually willing to agree to a ceasefire, previous attempts to establish such a state have been met with further demands for concessions, conditions, carve-outs. Then the president's probably at a point where he's going to say, well, we're done. So far, remarkably, Rubio, he appeared to imply that neither Russia nor Ukraine appeared to be engaging properly, saying in his remarks, both sides, that the U.S. was on the verge of walking away, but that it wouldn't if either side or both get on board to make some progress, a tacit admission that at present neither one is. Rubio said, we're trying to prevent bombings, but we're not going to be flying all over the world and do meeting after meeting after meeting if no progress is being made. If they're serious about peace, either side or both, Rubio said, we're going to help. If it's just a meeting to have another meeting, we'll figure out whether that will happen. I'm willing to come myself if the meeting is going to be productive. While his remarks were pretty stark, Rubio's warning also made clear the U.S. stepping away from unproductive talks, what he called meetings for the sake of having meetings. That was not Trump washing his hands of Ukraine. If one side or the other later was to really, really engage in good faith, the U.S. would come back to mediate. Rubio said, we'll do what we can on the margins. We'll be able to help whenever you're ready to have peace, but we're not going to continue with this endeavor for weeks and months on end. So we must determine very quickly now, and I'm talking about a matter of days, whether or not this is a doable issue and that we can get it done in the next few weeks. If it is, we're in. If it's not, we have other priorities that we got to focus on. Wow. Let me just make a suggestion. If you're a praying person, that war is horrible for both Ukraine and Russia. And I know, because it's in that part of the world, there's so much anguish between the people, between the governments in both countries. I get all of that. But it's time to stop the slaughter of innocent people, top to bottom. I'm sure by now, I don't know if we'll ever get accurate numbers of people killed on the Russia side of this war, because they don't like to make it look like they're not winning whatever they're in. But there are a lot of people that are dead. And if we don't get it resolved, if we can't get it resolved and they won't resolve it themselves, it's at least a couple of million people have died. No country deserves that. There really isn't. And there's no justification for it. What's either country getting? Got to remember, this whole thing goes back to Russia invading part of Ukraine and doing their darndest to take it away from the Ukrainian people. And there was no, as far as I know, conversation between the two governments about who should get what. As a matter of fact, that part of Northern Europe The borders have changed so many times, I can't even remember the names of some of those used-to-be countries that are no longer countries. They're just part of either Ukraine or part of Russia. It's almost like we're looking at another Afghanistan. I get a little bit weary with that. I get a little bit weary with war. Nobody ever wins in a war, even if one side is determined and chosen to be the winner. People that fight in wars are losing. Their family members are losing. The people they're fighting for, their fellow countrymen, on either side, both sides of any war. Nobody deserves that as an outcome. And at the end of it, what do you have? Yeah, I won. We beat them. So, war is never good. And we need to get out of this one. We really do. Did you hear about what happened in the UK yesterday? The United Kingdom. They took some action that proves they know. On the other side of the pond, they know what a woman is. So when will the Democrats in the United States figure that out? Apparently, they don't have it figured out now. Each era is granted its mass hysteria. Granted, a dancing plague is mild compared to convincing young girls to cut off healthy body parts. But signs point to reality reasserting itself. Look no further than a recent judgment from Britain's Supreme Court ruling that men who self-identify as trans women are not to be legally regarded as women. The court holds that the terms man, woman, and sex in the European Union refer to biological sex. The ruling is hardly a wholesale repudiation of the nonsensical logic which underpins the entirety of transgenderism, the theory of it. Courts draw a distinction between sex and gender, tacitly claiming the latter can be reassigned through surgery, and acknowledges transsexual people as a protected class. But on the other hand, women have historically suffered from discrimination in our society and since 1975 have been given statutory protection against discrimination on the grounds of sex. That's actually a line from the judgment in this case, and it continues. On the other hand, the trans community is both historically and currently a vulnerable community. Regardless, even the obvious assertion that men are not women would have been difficult to eke out of a judiciary during the height of transgender mania. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson infamously claimed she could not define the word woman. That was in her confirmation hearing, and she still won the seat on the Supreme Court. Can I provide a definition? No, I can't. That's what she said in response to Republican Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn. Not in this context, she said. I'm not a biologist. Britain's Supreme Courts will be stunned and pleased to know they've acquired a bachelor's degree in biology overnight, as will the billions of common sense human beings who are capable of drawing this fundamental distinction. One of Donald Trump's most effective campaign ads during his 2024 presidential run spoke to this. Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you. Pretty simple, don't you think? Some Democrats, like Democrat Governor of California, Gavin Newsom, appear to be distancing themselves from this contentious issue. Others employ a higher risk strategy in their responses to the American people, closing their eyes, covering their ears, and whistling as loud as they can. Transgenderism was supposed to be the next great frontier of civil rights. It has amounted to nothing more than a puzzly historical footnote with a tragic human cost. There's no victories there. Anything that's been decided is still in flux. But let me tell you what Dan did. I sat down the other day and I started thinking through the big 900-pound gorilla in this whole story is transgender women competing against biological women. There's a fix for the problems that are caused by that. An all-out, very, very good way to resolve it forever. Oh my gosh. Do you really have a solution, Dan? Yep, I do. Here's the way it would work. Obviously, everybody understands in a transgender athlete, that transgender female athlete has a very, very obvious and very large advantage over any biological female that they compete against. So we can fix that. How can we fix it? Okay. Let's talk about swimming. We're not going to have just men swimming and women swimming. We're going to have trans swimming competition. Now, wait a minute. How would that work, Dan? It's real simple. You have a transgender woman, a transgender man. What are the differences there? A transgender woman is somebody who is biologically male, but identifies as a woman. A transgender man is a biological woman who identifies as a man. They compete against each other. And we do that across the board in every competitive sport, even fencing. And if we do that, think about the good things that come out of that. It will keep biological men will have to compete against biological men. Biological women will have to compete only against biological women. Transgenders will compete against only transgenders. That sounds too simple. But you know what? It'll make the noise that is deafening right now. It'll make it go away. Now, of course, the automatic cries are going to be, that's not fair. Well, that's the problem, folks. It's not fair. And your reason for saying it's not fair is the reason the way you're doing it is not fair. So if you want to be trans, dadgummit, go ahead and be trans. We're going to give you a way to compete. You will be able to win if you're good enough to beat someone else that competes against you. That is also transgender. You know what? Maybe I ought to copyright that. What do you think? That's a great thought. It's a great idea. And I want to be known as the one that had invented it. And I solved the dilemma. Folks, I hope you're going to have a wonderful Easter weekend. And I thank you for joining us on many of your days off. Have a great time with family. Remember, we're celebrating Easter on Sunday. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive, okay? Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right back here, 9 a.m. TNN Live.
Your heart.